time for more movie thoughts, reviews, and royal commentary from Richard Fitzwilliams and Natasha Wanton on the Midweek Drive.
When my son and I moved in here, it wasn't as warm as we hoped. Okay, I'm gonna light a vanilla candle, and it's gonna be a game changer.
Will it though?
And after midnight, the house comes alive.
This place is haunted!
We need your help.
It's time to assemble the dream team.
We find someone who can communicate with these ghosts.
People used to eat here.
I told you she's good.
It's a dining room.
I found a professor who else wanted mansions.
I've been dying to go to this place for years.
Mystery lurks around every corner.
I summon Madame Leota!
I can show you what happened, but it will cost you $3.
What?
Wow.
Siren robbery!
Who said that?
You're not that scary. You're really not. You're pretty terrifying. Can you turn it around just while I finish this? Thank you.
Guys, is anybody else seeing this?
Yeah, I'm seeing it.
Whoa. Hold on.
If we don't solve this mystery,
we're stuck here for eternity.
You're all in for a treat.
No.
No! Oh, come on.
Well, thank heavens for Natasha Wanton is all I can actually say, because certainly if we look at the red, white and almost blue scenario that Richard's put forward as one of his suggestions today, it's a 1 out of 10 for me straight away. Enough of such stuff. Let's motor on to Haunted Mansion, which I believe could be the ideal movie to actually hold back for Disney Plus for this year's Halloween special.
I would agree with that comment. I think it would definitely be interesting had it been released in a much more closer to Halloween release date rather than release it end of August. I'm not quite sure what the thinking was behind that, but I don't know. Maybe they're trying to freshen things up. Who can say? There's a lot to get through with this review, so I'm probably going to sort of structure it a bit of a background introduction, plot, a bit of my thoughts on the movie, and then sort of blend that with a bit of a contrast to the original 2003 movie. So I'll take us through with a bit of an introduction. This is a movie that's sort of been a long time coming, sort of been in the works since 2010. So it's taken them 13 years to make this movie. So you would kind of hope that it would be good, considering how long it's kind of been on the table. It had a massive budget. $150 million budget. And so far, it's only grossed $87 million worldwide. So now it's not being released, I should say, in Australia until August 31st. So I was actually at a sort of a preview sort of session today. It wasn't very busy, which doesn't really look that good in regards to where we're going, but I'll jump into the plot and we'll unpack things a little bit more maybe. So the central character around this story, sort of very similar to that you had Eddie Murphy, who was the big sort of central role in the original one. You've got this character of Ben Mathias, and he's an astrophysicist and he's developing a camera that can detect dark matter. And at the start of this film, you sort of see him meet Alicia and he marries her. And then something happens. We don't quite know. There's a bit of a time jump and you see him flash forward and he's drinking in a bar and drunk and now leading ghost tours. it's not revealed until later on in the movie what happens, but it's kind of Alicia and Ben's relationship is sort of a central theme to the plot. You then see this character of Father Kent introduced, who's played by Owen Wilson, who is absolutely brilliant in this movie. I will say it's another blinding role for him. And he hires him to photograph ghosts at this haunted mansion. Obviously, Ben doesn't believe in ghosts and he thinks, oh, I'll just take the money, pretend to take the photos and leave. Unfortunately, when Ben goes home for the night after successfully rubbing his hands of the whole affair, he finds that his faith in ghosts not existing is tested, as he finds one on his sofa and he keeps interfering with his various daily activities, changing the TV channel, throwing things at him, throwing his coffee cups everywhere when he tries to leave his house and huddle down and hunker down in a cafe, flooding his bedroom. It's all a bit of a hassle. So he finds himself washed up back in the mansion. And this mansion is owned by Gabby and her son, Travis. And there are two other central characters to the plot. Gabby's just moved down to New Orleans from up north. She wanted to get out the city with her son. Her son is a bit of an introvert, putting it mildly. So you can kind of see where the plot is sort of going in terms of the lacking father figure. It's sort of an interesting setup, the way that they've done the plot, because rather than it sort of take place over one night, as you would imagine that it's going to, this sort of story plays out over a number of days. And you see it happening in different locations. Like, they leave the mansion and come back, which is very different from what we see in the original movie, which is very much focused on the mansion. And that is the principal place. In terms of sort of how scary it is, I would say that this has definitely got some elements of classic horror movies in there, and it is a much less reliant on comedy kind of film. There are nods to comedy. I mean, you've got Danny DeVito and Owen Wilson in the same room together, right? Comedy is going to naturally just happen when the minute they walk in. But it's not slapstick, and it's not reliant on gags as much as the original 2003 version certainly was. And the general color palette and mood of this film is a lot darker than the original. I feel like the original, yes, this felt like a family movie, but the original felt maybe that it could be inclusive of a younger audience, whereas this one feels slightly older. And it's certainly, I would say, much more of a homage to The Ride. And those of you who are listening to this and have been on the Haunted Mansion ride at the Disney parks, this will probably, the scenes that you see in the movie, you could almost lift out of elements of that ride, which has been really nicely done. So I like the way that they've done that and prefer that to the original version. I would say that there is definitely much more of a theme of this one. Obviously, grief is a huge part of this movie, and it is kind of the central focus, central pillar of this film, from which everything revolves around. Everybody has some form of grief that they're working through for the characters, and it really latches onto that theme of letting go and moving forward. And I feel like it actually handles that quite well. I don't think, sometimes when you get that theme, it can be done a bit heavy-handed, whereas I feel like this, the subject matter was handled well. What lets this film down, unfortunately, is the script. It is a bit jarring at times, and even though you have all these quality actors, you know, you've got Jamie Lee Curtis, you've got Danny DeVito, you've got Owen Wilson, it sometimes the script can be a little bit, you're like, I feel like that could be tweaked and it would make the line 10 times better. There's a couple of those in the movie where you're like, But then again, there are some also very golden moments. I spat out my popcorn multiple times just by the one-liners. So
that must have been very unfortunate for people sitting in front of you.
Well, this is the problem. This is what I was, which goes back to my original point at the start. There weren't people sitting in front of me. So I'm surprised by the lack of interest in this early preview. I don't know if that's because people have accessed it other places, or they've managed to get it on. I don't know.
Waiting for Disney Plus. Waiting for Disney.
Maybe they're waiting for Disney Plus, which again goes back to the point of should they have released this in October? Probably. It is a scary movie at times. There are elements of that classic horror. You know, you've got those corridor chases, you've got those jump scares, you've got the sort of the soundtrack that sort of builds with as the characters on their own. The ghosts in this movie are definitely a lot scarier than the original version, which is why, again, I suggest that it would be probably for an older family audience than a younger family audience.
It's not the first time, of course, that Disney has done a great movie on the basis of a theme park ride. Pirates of the Caribbean, of course, Jungle Cruise. Both actually had positives from that point of view. Does that also echo this? And of course, there has been a Haunted House movie before.
Yes. As I was sort of saying, I don't think this does it as successfully. Well, nothing's going to do it as successfully as Pirates of the Caribbean. That was a standalone, massive success. And I don't think anywhere else can touch it. Do I think it's as successful as Jungle Cruise? I think this is a different kind of movie to Jungle Cruise.
How much Richard Fitzwilliams liked Jungle Cruise, so this is not looking good for him actually going along to see Haunted House.
Alex, as Oscar Wilde once said, I rely upon you to misrepresent me. I thoroughly enjoyed Jungle Cruise whilst it was telling a story with The Rock and Emily Blunt, and then suddenly it started wheeling in ghosts. Oh, dear.
Yeah, as I say, ghosts doesn't like it. You see where we're going.
I feel like the ghosts in this movie were really well done because they used... There was some CGI, but it wasn't a complete bludgeoning you over the head with CGI like the original movie was. And the CGI quality is obviously a lot better 20 years on than it was back then. But yeah, I don't think this has been as successful as Jungle Cruise even. Jungle Cruise I gave a 9. This one I'm going to go to an 8. And I think it's let down. And I forgive elements of the bad script purely because I did enjoy it, and I enjoyed the kind of chemistry that the actors all had together. That sort of, it was very believable in terms of their chemistry, which I liked. And I thought that it was different. I didn't expect where the plot was going. I didn't expect it to be moving away from the mansion at times and having different different settings throughout the film. So that was interesting. I wasn't quite sure what was going to happen. I did enjoy this movie. That's why I'm going for an 8, I think.
Victoria Simmons, is Haunted House something that you're going to be checking out in the cinemas of France?
I'd like to if it comes on. We don't have that many films here. But in my little town, it is something I think I'd enjoy. I did like the first Haunted Mansion. But I know that some of the films that Disney have been producing recently haven't been what I'd want to watch. So that sort of leads me to the things in it that are going to be more like the new Disney things that I'm not enjoying so much. Or are we actually going back to the original Haunted Mansion in that type of style? I don't know.
Well, I know that people were a little bit shocked that you weren't 100% behind the Ipcress file on a recent Residents Rewind. I have to say, though, that in comparison with Richard's first movie, which I think is a crime against cinema in general, and actually, in certain ways, you could say that the Spanish football president, Luis Rubiales, could probably actually cite this movie as a way to actually just embrace somebody or give them a kiss without any consent whatsoever. A movie which I have to say I gave up after 40 minutes, and I just thought this is a 1 out of 10, and that's just for the David Bowie inclusion of Up the Hill Backwards. Richard, how can you possibly say that Red, White and Royal Blue is worth anybody's attention or time at all?
Well, firstly, Alex, I'm very entertained by your little review of it. I do have to say...
Too much cake, Richard. Too much cake.
Ah, well, the beginning of it was absolute rubbish. I mean, let's be absolutely...
I mean, is this Meghan and Harry the queer version, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was based a novel by Case of a Quinter, Tristan apparently sold very well. And here we have two characters, Britain's Prince Henry and Alex Claremont Diaz, the son of the President of the United States and from working class origins. Initially, they don't like each other. They have a disastrous altercation after a royal wedding at Buckingham Palace. And then they get to know each other and fall in love. The news is leaked, the president is supportive, but nonetheless the ultra-traditional monarch isn't, when there's popular support for it in ways that only a fairy tale or fantasy could possibly conjure up. Well, what happens? I have to say that the beginning of this movie, I agree with Alex's comments, because I mean, at the reception, what you have is them fighting and then the cake falls over onto them. And
I mean, you're a royal correspondent, Richard. You know, you mixed and matched with all those things. I mean, did that bear any... I mean, there's more chance of that being realistic in a Cinderella movie. Why didn't they actually set that around as a line as opposed to, you know, the British special relationship? Four weddings and a funeral, superb, marvellous. Oh, yes, Love Actually, superb, yeah. Marvellous, oh, special relationship. This one, it's like a wet balloon.
Oh, on that, I certainly agree. And I think the beginning of this movie, I was really wondering, when can I, so to speak, escape? But then, I mean, fair enough, a film for the TikTok generation, apparently. Before it opened at 25 million times, it's been viewed with the cake falling over onto them. But nonetheless, I did think, to be honest and fair, it did improve a bit. Not when they get locked into a cupboard after the president's...
Yeah, because that was so realistic, wasn't it, basically? Somebody sets a whole firework and
instantly... Yes, that's how they really get to know each other. No, not then. And indeed, he gives he gives Prince Henry a bad sobriquet on WhatsApp. And by that time, in the first half, I agree, I think it was a waste of time. But on the other hand, graphic depiction of queer love, and rather interesting point. It's a pure coincidence. This is the week it was released, the Dutch are in fact considering, because there's never been 43 monarchies in the world today, and there's never been a same-sex marriage close to the throne in any of them, and the Dutch are considering changing the law so that this apparently would take place. And certainly, if the institution is a true symbol of national unity, I mean, there ought to be. We only changed the law on primogeniture in 2013. Back to the movie, it mixes politics and passion in a way that people who are fans...
But watching the FIFA Women's World Cup all over again for the World Cup final.
So touching, you know, you tempt me with the comment on the lionesses. There, remind you, Alex, and I haven't forgotten this. When I went to Brighton and there was an exhibition about the lionesses and I was reviewing it and you shouted me down, so... I'm just pointing out hypocrisy.
Yes, and they lost, Richard.
Tough on hypocrisy. Tough on the causes of hypocrisy. I'm not letting you get away with it because I simply chose it because it was an exhibition.
There are a lot of happy Australians this week, I can tell you.
And I'm just telling you, so far as this is concerned, to be perfectly honest, I thought the chemistry between Nicholas Galitzin and Prince Henry and Taylor Zachar Perez as Alex worked well enough. They're quite entertaining appearances by Uma Thurman as the president and Stephen Fry as the king. It's a sort of colourful, glossy, mostly predictable, lavishly produced, and with some howlers in the script. I'll Brexit your head at one moment. So there's a line for you. That's the president's...
Yeah. Sorry, Richard, was that supposed to be amusing?
It was, Alex. I didn't see you laugh, but then you'll have laughed so much when you saw it.
I have actually seen that piece in the actual... That's when I switched it off. That was the moment I basically switched off the movie at that moment in time.
Well, I have to say, I mean, I don't think you missed that much, but equally, I do think it had an important message because, as I pointed out, we haven't had a Joe LB LGBTQ plus movie of the sort. It is perfectly obvious what it is about, and that is sensation. Equally, as I say, I thought the chemistry between the two worked okay, and if you can put up with a fantasy of the sort and this type of movie appeals to you, and certainly if it doesn't, you won't go and see it. I mean, I will a little reluctantly maybe Prince Philip's and then Princess
Beatrice. He'd be spinning in his grave at this particular moment in time, spinning in his brain, he saw this was a representation of the British royal family. So would Her Majesty the Queen.
Prince Philip, well, I don't think they'd either of them would have bothered with a movie like this, quite honestly. But Prince Philip is, in point of fact, the heir to the throne. I was just mentioning that Princess Beatrice also appears. They use the names. It's not very clever, but nonetheless.
If a historian from the 23rd century was to actually view this as an accurate representation of British monarchy in the first quarter of the 21st century, I think you'd be apoplectic, Richard.
I don't think that he'd be anything other than mildly amused, and he probably might not, as you didn't watch it all the way through. But nonetheless, as I say, it does make there is an important aspect to it. And I didn't think, after the terrors of the first 20 minutes, half an hour, where I was certainly tempted. I can't walk out of a movie reviewing it, of course, but nonetheless, I was tempted.
Oh, I don't know. Some people have.
Well, it's very, very difficult very few movies, to be honest, in my opinion, have changed from being good in the first or bad in the first half hour.
But you just cited Jungle Cruise as one example where that happened.
That did indeed, and Jungle Cruise was an example. I've said there are very few of them. I didn't say none of them. Please, accuracy, Alex, not your strong point, I have to say. But to quote the lionesses and expect me to comment, when you shouted me down, and I repeat again, I was seared to the soul by that. That was a terrifying thing to do. I'd in good faith chosen.
We know you were disgusted with the non-appearance of Prince William at the final, which obviously laid the way open for Queen Letitia to effectively celebrate.
No, I absolutely agree with you. I said that far as that was concerned, firstly, Michelle Obama was once told by the Queen that royal protocol was rubbish. Frankly, the idea that the reason he didn't go was because the king
footprint.
Had been to the Antipodes and as monarch should have gone before the Prince of Wales. It just doesn't feature these days. It would imagine if the lionesses had won and they'd have been greeted by Queen Letizia of Spain, her daughter, the Infanta Sophia, and the Governor General of Australia.
And they would have had a lovely kiss on the lips or other parts of their anatomy from the Spanish chap as well, no doubt. Still, there,
well,
we are.
You are. I mean, when it comes to the case of saving emissions, oh yes, it's 22 hours there and back, and the idea that it ended with that 2 hours. Well, I mean, the point obviously there is if emissions are going to play that sort of role, you wouldn't have any royal tours anywhere, and that isn't going to happen because there are greatest use of soft power. Yes, I think that was poorly handled, and I think it was indeed a mistake. Regarding when red, white, and royal blue, I will a little reluctantly come to five versus your one.
Natasha, red, white, and royal blue, is it something which you would say is for you?
Judging by your both very eloquent reviews and what I saw of the trailer, no, probably not. It looked very... Yeah, it looks very...
What the flip?
Dodgy from the trailer. And I'm guessing that is a similar quality that I'm probably going to be seeing throughout. So I would probably reserve my time for something maybe a little bit more worth my viewing.
I feel sorry for Uma Thurman, personally.
Sorry?
Anyway. I feel very sorry for Uma Thurman. She used to actually be in things like Kill Bill Part 1 and Part 2. And look what's happened now. Still, she needs the money.
Very good. We agree, Alex. I hope Kill Bill Parts 1 and 2 were excellent.
Well, indeed. Victoria.
So I'm not even going to bother going. No.
You don't have to. It's already online. It's on the Amazon Prime service. So, you know.
I won't. No.
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 Okay. Well, from there
definitely
to
not.
another classic actress who has fallen on hard times, Penelope Cruz, although she seems to be doing quite well in this particular thing. Would you like to just share with us your latest review of Penelope Cruz's offering about a girl who wants to be a boy?
Yeah, indeed, yes. And I thought that this was a very sensitive film. Yes, Penelope Cruz is, I don't know about hard times. Whenever I've seen her, she's...
Ever since she stopped working with Tom Cruise, it's been downhill.
Well, what was the film she was with Tom Cruise in?
Vanilla Sky, or Abre les Ofros, Abre les Opos.
Well, no, I didn't see it, I have to say. I've always thought she's extremely good, and she certainly puts in a good performance here. It's a movie about the patriarchy and about identity in the 1970s. Adriana, a very good performance here by Luana Giuliani. She's a preteen girl. She moves into a new apartment with her family. As a very unhappily married couple, Clara, played by Penelope Cruz, and Felice, played by Vincente Amato. He's violent, he's abusive. They have three children, and Adriana, the eldest, 11, presents herself as a boy, Andrew. She believes she's a boy. It's a movie about gender dysphoria and identity. And when she befriends a girl in the local gypsy encampment nearby, which is threatened with demolition, she is in fact believed to be a boy by her friend. The husband of Clara, Felice, he's violent, he's unpredictable. And the movie, to some extent, is dominated by this. It's about a family, putting it mildly, that's dysfunctional. And it's pretty terrifying because in those days, very, very, and in many cases today, it's very, very difficult to know what, in fact, you are able to do about it. It leads to Clara leaving for medical treatment, and it leads to Felice's rather formidable mother, played by Alvia Reale, moving in. It's a very sensitive, penetrating view of early childhood. It's a grim vision of a patriarchal society. And also, we have a portrait years before it became so widely discussed. And so much of, I mean, it's as everyone knows, so much of the topic of today, a movie about someone who very clearly is a boy. But of course, at that time, gender dysphoria was hardly discussed at all. The cameras, absolutely wonderful countryside vistas. I recommend this film. I thought it was excellent, and I think it's very well acted. I think the issues are presented very sensitively. Director Emmanuel Curlesi has done a very good job.
One might say it could be a cynical exploitation of a current vogue, but Natasha, I'm sure you wouldn't say that. Is this one for you?
That is a very cynical view, Alex. I think this is certainly far more up my street than the previous movie we just discussed. I would like to see this movie. I think it's going to be one that I'll have to sit down and be in the right emotional headspace for, because I think it's going to be quite challenging and quite intense to watch some of the scenes, just judging from what I've heard and seen of it. I do think it's an important topic. I think representation is very important. You know, I don't think that it's being particularly saturated in terms of... I like it when it's done and it feels natural, rather than feeling like it's deliberately pushing an agenda. Do you know what I mean? Like some films you have it in and it feels just right, and it feels, the script feels very natural, the acting and the depiction of it feels very natural. And I hope that that's the case here, rather than it feeling quite wooden and just, let's just throw this in because it'll make money for a marketing ploy. So I hope that's not what's happening.
Or not make money actually, if you're in Disney Corporation.
Yes. Well, that's a whole other can of worms, isn't it, really? I would like to see this movie, and I'd like to see the portrayals and the relationships play out between the different actors involved.
Struck me as being a kind of version of Thor, Love and Thunder, with perhaps fewer superpowers. But there we are. I know one of your
don't say that, Alex.
That's
blasphemy. That's blasphemy to any film.
Alex, have you seen it? You couldn't have seen it.
No, I'm going by the trailer. I'm going by the trailer in terms of the initial lines from that point of view. And Victoria Simmons, what about yourself?
I think it's difficult to have... I mean, I'm glad that they're doing it, but I find that I'm on the fence with it. It's sort of... Are you only doing this because it has to be shown, or... With somebody's going to be really annoyed with it, whichever way, because there's either going to be someone saying, oh, well, they're representing it in this way, but we feel it's that way, and or vice versa. And someone's going to get annoyed, and then there's going to be some sort of backlash, whichever way people have taken it. So it's a difficult one to judge.
Well, it seems as though the clear winner for this week, Natasha, thank the Lord, as we said at the start, was Haunted Mansion, really, from that point of view, in terms of things to go and see. Certainly, looking at Red, White and Royal Blue, I wouldn't really. But still, if you like lines which goes along the lines of did your parents send you to snobbery school, or does looking down on people come naturally to you? Curiously, there was a slight echo that I found of The Persuaders with Brett Sinclair and Tony Curtis, or Roger Moore and Tony Curtis, Brett Sinclair and Danny Wilde, after a fashion. Although that 1970 series did the transatlantic special relationship infinitely better than this Red, White and Royal Blue. And nevertheless, Harry, I believe, is coming back, Richard, so good news there. Is he going to be divorced by the time we sort of reach the stage of the end of the year, or is that just another rumour?
Well, of course, rumours, they're fluctuating ups and downs. I mean, they lost Spotify, but nonetheless, they were never really in danger of losing Netflix because their contract doesn't run out until 2024 anyway. So a lot of...
Netflix might have lost the audiences, though, but, you know, they won't have lost it, so there we are.
Well, I mean, regarding an audience, it'd be interesting to see Megan going back, if she does, on to the TIG or the blog or on Instagram. I mean, Harry, let's face it, he'd been in Singapore playing polo for Sentebale. That was his HIV/AIDS charity in Lesotho. He's Invictus Games in Dusseldorf, and also he'll be here for World Child. But the rift in the royal family is as deep as ever. There's speculation every single day about various aspects of this.
And, I mean, they learn from the Spanish royals? They know how to actually operate and maintain a level of quality and sophistication.
Actually, Alex, that is a very, very, very unfortunate thing to say. It is not only inaccurate, but if you give it one little thought, you might remember that King Juan Carlos has, in recent years, abdicated. And
yes, but they're gone, Richard. I'm saying the current version, the current incarnation.
The current incarnation, there's been a very, very real backlash. The monarchy's popularity in Spain has slumped terribly. It's very reminiscent, actually, of Britain in the 1990s. And, I mean, it's been very serious. The Spanish royals don't cost a great deal, although no one has access to the exact figure. But the facts simply are that an awful lot rests on King Felipe and Queen Letizia, because the scandals surrounding Juan Carlos and the financial scandals, let alone what happened prior to his...
They were just less capable of covering up the scandals, whereas Prince Charles has managed to put that to one side with his own...
You're not suggesting there were scandals for Prince Charles to cover up. Please, Alex, tell us.
It's only the Metropolitan Police who've apparently stopped the investigation now, so that's all I can say.
The Metropolitan Police, just to... cue Natasha and Victoria onto this. The Prince of Wales's former right-hand man is a character called Michael Fawcett. He's resigned three times, the first time in 1988 with reference to, or 1989 reference to bullying allegations, a second time some 20 years ago linked to the sale of royal gifts, and now linked to allegations which have not been...
lessons clearly have not been learned then, if he's had to do it three times.
One of the things, certainly, his summary won't be missed by a large number of courtiers and indeed journalists. I've never had personally anything to do with him, I have to say, but let us be clear. He won't be coming back in any capacity as a courtier. He might very well have had this investigation not been launched.
As long as Prince Andrew could be rehabilitated, that's all we're really looking for, and I'm sure the steps will be moved in that direction.
Well, Alex, you have the opportunity right here and now to write with reference to his police protection. It's a matter, quite literally, that was in today's paper. He wants his police protection back. Well, if a senior working royals, and he isn't going to be a working royal, quite frankly, that isn't going to happen. But the palace is reviewing all royal patronages, the recent ones that were given regarding various regiments, because the Three Service is always very proud of their links to the crown. But equally, it's well worth remembering that Prince Philip had over 800 patronages, the Queen had over 500, King Charles, when Prince of Wales, had, I think, a certain number to 300 or four, possibly 400. But I mean, who is going to take them up? Because there are only the royals who are working, only four under 70.
Well, they could outsource to Victoria Simmons. She'd be able to cross over from France and actually build the whole connection in there. I mean, that's what we actually need to do, a working monarchy.
Victoria, would your time stretch to aiding charitable institutions and military regiments and so forth in this way?
Yeah, I'm sure I could do a good job.
Exactly.
Put me in as long as somebody puts me in a really nice dress and, you know.
There we are.
That's fine.
The message
I'm
is sorted.
I'm going to be critical and nice at the same time.
Exactly.
Good to know. It's really good. That is really good to know. No. It's, I mean, I think that as we look forward to, you know, reviewing King Charles's first year, and of course remembering back very sadly with the passing of the Queen, there is no doubt at all that the problems that have been caused by the Sussexes. Overall, I think he's steered a pretty stable ship. And it would be interesting to see how things develop with all sorts of reports. For example, I mean, a trip to a Commonwealth country, there hasn't been one. France is coming up very soon because the trip to Germany was a success. But no question.
Yes, they postponed France, Richard. Why did they postpone France? Was there slight problems with respect to the French population being a little bit riotous, was it perhaps?
Only slight, Alex, but you know, you have to be very careful with royal visits that there are no problems, no hiccups, no glitches, and indeed there was plenty going on, as you well remember.
Let's see if Prince Andrew can...
I'm sorry?
I was just going to ask, Richard, I don't think they've kind of registered across the pond here, right? Certainly the first time hearing of it. Why are there now rumours about that Harry and Meghan are going to divorce? Where has that come from?
Well, it's only come from very irresponsible tweets and websites. There are no such plans.
Yeah.
It's
put together, presumably, by the...
Meghan not wearing a wedding ring in a photograph, or the fact that he's been without her some of the year when he's appeared and so on. I wouldn't give any credence to that at all, but I would watch that couple of new projects they're doing for Netflix on top of Heart of Invictus. There's a prequel. In fact, one of them is a prequel to Great Expectations. Now, I mean, Alex has, I think, been quoted as saying that when it comes to Meghan, you know, what did Dickens have to say?
Presumably not a lot. Let us move on at this particular area. Victoria Simmons, thank you. Natasha Wanton, as ever, from the land of freedom. Australia, of course, tragically beaten by Sweden into fourth place in the recent Women's World Cup. But worry not, Natasha, because at least the whole country can celebrate the recent result of Fiji in squashing the rugby union hopes of Mr. Borthwick. World Cup coming up in France very shortly for the Rugby World Cup, of course. And Richard Fitzwilliams, as ever, many thanks. Sarah Huntley is lost in Wi-Fi spaceland. So that's
well, I give Levinsita 8 out of 10. You didn't ask.
What's up next week, Richard?
Well, next week we've got some good ones, Alex. Rest assured, you will hear in due course.
Well, then keep watching the movies.
I sent you to the royal wedding with simple instructions. Don't cause an international incident.
How's it going?
You've done some pretty stupid things in your day, but this...
Thanks for cake? Henry shoved me.
An urge I currently share. What I need is some good old-fashioned damage control.
Need a boy.
The White House and the Palace are going to release a joint statement.
You've got to be joking.
You can hate Prince Henry all you want.
My NDA is bigger than yours. I want you to know that. You're wearing lifts. Know that too, sweetheart.
You better act like the sun shines out of his ass and you have a vitamin D deficiency.
Have you thought of what you might say to convince the world that we're actually friends? I love hanging out with this guy. These days are way too long. We never have to see each other again. You're expected at my New Year's party. Did I do something wrong? Do you ever wonder who you'd be if you were an anonymous person in the world? I have no idea what you're talking about. Christ, you're as thick as it gets. Yourself, your majesty.
It's your royal highness.
Oh. Dear Alex, I miss you.
That's what I really want.
Good morning.
We are in a hotel crawling with reporters. If anyone sees you leave this hotel, I will Brexit your head from your body. Your Royal Highness.
You need to figure out if you feel forever about him. Do you love him?
What difference would it make if I did?
I want someone to love.
Prince Henry belongs to Britain.
I need...
We can figure out a way to love each other on our own terms. It's like there's a rope attached to my chest and it keeps pulling me towards you. I want...
Hopefully, we'll get through tonight without any more scandals.
The night is young, Ma.
That's what I want!
It's got nothing.
Thank you.